It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running on another Titanic Tuesday on the horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us. It is the 29th day of January 2019. And if it's cold here, it's a lot colder other places. My sincere condolences to folks in Duluth. We actually have had members of the community in Duluth. To my friends in the Northwoods of northern Wisconsin. Hell, Chicago, Kansas City. Don't worry, it's headed this way too. It's a balmy, almost tropical 56 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and we're burning propane for all we're worth. Just trying to keep it tolerable in here. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And we've got a full-on exhibition of Titanic intellect on the way. Oh, yes, without a doubt, we do. And along the way, some other issues as well. I feel like I probably should at least, and you know, old white men talking about the weather, please, spare me Jesus. But this is a little more than just talking about the weather. All kidding aside, it's 23 degrees outside here right now, outside the Horn color weather window, on our way down to 16 tonight, but tomorrow, you know, two with wind chill below zero, and I hope it doesn't play out this way, but it gets pretty difficult to be back here, when it really gets hatefully cold. So we'll do our best to keep the room warm enough to tolerate one 50-something pink male progressive radio host. But if I should happen not to show up tomorrow night or maybe Thursday night, it won't be because I'm out playing hooky. It'll be because this place is just too godforsaken cold for human occupation. Agnes is doing what she can to sort of seal up the bedroom a little bit more, and because I dread this shit. I mean, years ago, you know how it is when you're young. It's almost like an adventure. Well, it ain't like an adventure anymore, especially not if you're experiencing 20 below, 30 below. You know, of course, that Julius Geezer couldn't resist tweeting about the freezing temperatures. Oh, my God, the stupid is strong with him. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, he and his tiny little thumbs, they let him get around his phone again, and he said, "In the beautiful Midwest, wind chill temperatures are reaching minus 60 degrees, the coldest ever recorded. In coming days, expected to get even colder. People can't last outside even for minutes. What the hell is going on with global warming? Please come back fast. We need you." Ew, God damned insufferable, godforsaken fucking fool. Because as our friend Robert in Australia would probably and could probably tell us, as could our buddy the Angry Architect and several other folks down that way, it's so damn hot in Australia. The roads are melting. Bats are dropping dead out of the trees. I don't know if it's had any untoward effect on the funnel web spotters. One can only hope. The pumping oxygen into the lakes just to keep the fish alive because it's so damn hot. But meanwhile, Julius Geezer thinks that when it gets extremely cold in the winter, that's somehow... Uh-uh. And once again, we come back on this Titanic Tuesday because, I mean, that right there, boys and girls, that's some Titanic intellect. This is what makes climate change so damnably difficult to get people to comprehend. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, it wasn't that many years ago that a dumbass senator from Oklahoma, and by calling him a dumbass, I'm being as gentle as I possibly can, carried a snowball into the well of the Senate in January and said, "See, there ain't no global warming. I got me a snowball in Washington, D.C. in the wintertime." Oh, the stupid. It approaches the unbearable. But the extremes of climate change are what lets us know that this is, you know, climate change. It's the expansion of the far ends of the tolerable. Melting roads in Australia and 120 degree Fahrenheit temperatures in Australia are climate change every bit as much as 50, 60 below in Fargo, North Dakota, our climate change. And doing nothing about it is just sort of putting one's middle finger into the air and say, "Ha! You got 50 below, can you do 70? Because that's not really climate change, because it's cold." And besides, we've got a moron in the White House who thinks that cold temperatures means that climate change doesn't exist. Oh, God damn it, it hurts, the stupid, it hurts. But yeah, more than an appropriate beginning for Titanic Tuesday, don't you think? As Brother Deacon Asa pointed out when the program started, hot and fast aboard the Horn vessel sailing through endless oceans of Titanic intellect, I see a giant iceberg, Skipper. Full steam ahead, throttle man! Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Subject line, Free Willy, this coming in from Silent R. Lamar. Is it the time for Free the Stupid? If it is, send in the Trump. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Oh, by the way, just in case, because I did you a disservice here. He didn't say global warming before the corrections start rolling in via email or Twitter, etc. He said global waming.
What the hell is going on with global waming? Please come back fast. We need you. Come back, Shane. Come back.
Global waming. Yeah. Waming. Mm-hmm. One person even tried to explain it to him. Climate and weather are two different things, Donald. Think of climate as your bald head. It's permanent, eroding slowly, but forever over time. Now think of weather as your comb-over. Superficial and here one day and gone the next, but maybe back tomorrow. I think there probably is some sort of a relationship, Steve, in New York. Steve says, I wonder if global waming is what causes sex clams or hamburgers. I don't know any sex clams that can survive, but, you know, it's weird. Where the sex clams come from is not being touched by this cold snap. South of there, Tuscaloosa's going to freeze its Crimson Tide ass off, but where the sex clams were born, just another winter's day. Along the banks of the Singing River. Monique adds, what's even more insane, this idiot not only has grandchildren, but an actual child who will have to deal with the effects of global warming. We know his old hateful ass will be dead, so will his legacy. Waming. Waming. Yeah, I know. I know. It hurts. It does hurt. But today, this Titanic Tuesday, and remember, Titanic Tuesday. Oh, thanks. We don't have it. Yes, thanks go out to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very, very kindly. But we don't have any subscribers for the 29th because February screws all that up for everybody. Right. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very, very kindly. You may recall the name for Titanic Tuesday comes from something that happened many years ago now when our buddy Jim tuned into right-wing monotone radio in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia. And he tuned in just in time to hear the morning monotone, Steve, not a member of the Fraternity of Steves, take a call from one of the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking faithful who wanted to know, Steve, how come it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I ain't never heard telling of such a thing till I done seed one for myself when I was a-working down in the coal mines. Coal keeps lights on. To which the morning monotone replied, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. And he was ever so certain in his statement there. He was ever so certain of his own manifest brilliance. Those Titanic plates just sliding all around the Titanic dining tables there in the Titanic dining room and salons and whatnot. Yeah. Still no word on the whereabouts of the Titanic French press coffee maker. So that's where the term comes from. It's a celebration, Titanic Tuesday is. Of just how unutterably goddamn stupid Republicans can be, conservatives can be, maggots, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, perchers, baggers, booger eaters can be. And in case you were wondering, the answer is very, very stupid. Enter Howard Schultz, who, while not a Republican per se, or at least too chicken to run as a Republican in the 2020 presidential election against Donald Trump. The man who created Starbucks out of a tiny little operation and a fistful of burnt coffee beans, who's now an umpty bajillionaire. Gas bottle changing time here. Highfalutin radio programs with the staff have people to do this. Then again, highfalutin radio programs also operate in studios that have, I don't know, central heat. Now, Howie Schultz.
Schultz, I know nothing.
Yep, that's lost on about everybody under the age of 45. Howie Schultz showed up on The View today. Mm-hmm. And explained why it is that even though he's sort of identified as a Democrat over the years, that he won't run for president as a Democrat. Not that he should run for president at all, frankly. But he just doesn't like... he doesn't like where the Democratic Party is these days. Let's check in with old Howie.
I'm not saying anything against the Electoral College. What I'm saying is if it's a 50-state race, you can get to 270, the Electoral College applies. With regard to New Hampshire and Iowa, watch every Democrat go to those states and have to be disingenuous and probably make a false promise about fentanyl just to be able to get elected in the primary in those states. I would have to be disingenuous as a Democrat if I ran as a Democrat because in order to run as a...
I was about to make a horrible mistake. Get the hockey puck. You'll be wanting it. Otherwise, you'll disturb the neighbors. He's worried about being disingenuous. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want to have to make promises that he knows he can't keep. Or at least knows he has no intention. Or knows he has no interest in keeping. What sort of promises would he be talking? Of course, he's also a billionaire, and billionaires are used to getting their own way. It was a real annoyance for Julius Geezer to have to face down those 17 or 19 other Republicans, but he just marched through them and gave them a proper stomping because American Republicans love somebody who's nasty and rude and stupid. Emphasis on the nasty and rude part. And then, of course, back there behind it all was Mother Russia going as hard as they could possibly go to make sure that their puppet, i.e. him, he, got the nomination. But Howie doesn't want to, because Howie has a titanic intellect. Howie doesn't want to make promises he doesn't want to make.
If I ran as a Democrat, because in order to run as a Democrat today, you have to fall in line with free Medicare for everybody, free college for everybody, a free job for everybody. Let me finish.
I'll interrupt you there, Hal. You have to fall in line with free Medicare for everybody, free college for everybody, a free job for everybody. Time out. Get a little help here. What in the wide, wide world of sports is a free job? Is that where you don't have to show up and they just send you a check? Because I don't know what a free job is. I understand free health. I understand the idea of free Medicare. Of course, it's bullshit, and all it tells us about all that line tells us about Howie Schultz is that he hasn't studied the issue at all. Nobody's hollering for free Medicare. Medicare, as we all know, is something you pay for. It's just a way of making sure that everybody can have health care, which, well, frankly, capitalism doesn't much give a good goddamn about. Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael and Madison. You renew my faith in the younger generation. Subject line, Hogan's Heroes. Clocking in at 40 here, Bob, and I got the Hogan's Heroes reference. I always like to imagine what the pitch meeting for that sitcom must have been like. Oh, I know. Okay, so it's Nazis, but they're going to be funny, funny bumbling Nazis. And the American prisoners of war who were tormented and starved to death in the Stalags. Well, this is going to be a different kind of Stalag. I mean, we're going to have a bumbling Nazi and a bumbling SS major, and the most lovable Nazi will be a great big sergeant named Schultz. Does that jibe with Does that jibe with your imaginings there, Michael? Because Brother Deacon Asa points out, Mr. Schultz, consider running as a repig licking. It's a lot easier to be disingenuous then. Clarity has an answer. A free job is a job that doesn't cost you to work there. In other words, not Starbucks. Note coming in from... Well, we'll get to that in a minute, Clarence. Absolutely unconscionable. Trump EPA refuses to limit toxic chemicals that contaminate drinking water of millions. Here's one not to swallow, Bob. Yeah, I agree. But just to sort of get back to the issue at hand, Howie Schultz here really doesn't have a clue. And this, to be fair, this often happens with people who have more dollars than cents. This happens with people who, if they've got the sniffles, they just go to some highfalutin doctor who's like, oh well, fall, yeah, harumph, you've got the sniffles, and you know, make it all better, doctor. Oh, okay. Will that be cash or... Well, I don't have any money on me. Can you bill me? And then, of course, you know, they stiff them. Free Medicare? No, it's just that we could have Medicare for all and provide more coverage to more people and save more lives than continuing to shamble along with this capitalist nightmare of a healthcare system that we presently have. That's all. But the free college, we would pay for it. We've been having this argument since 2016. The White Wing characterizes us proles out here as wanting free stuff from the government. Like free stuff. Who's going to pay for that free stuff? Probably us billionaires, ain't it? Yeah, I'd say so. Let's do it. Let's do a quick thought experiment, by the way, on marginal tax rates. Let's say you make $10 million and $1 in a year. That first dollar you make after the 10 millionth dollar, we're going to tax that sucker at 70%. That means that after everything's calculated, you know what you've got, Mr. Billionaire? Mr. Millionaire, $10 million is what you've got. You got $10 million. No, I'm sorry. You've got $10 million and 30 cents. But you still got $10 million. Tell me you can't get by on $10 million. Well, apparently, Howie can't get by on $10 million.
Democrat today, you have to fall in line with free Medicare for everybody, free college for everybody, a free job for everybody. Let me finish.
But that's what you said you were given to your. That's what you just said you gave everybody.
No, but not the way not free for the government. And that totals about $40 trillion on top of the fact that we are sitting on a $21 trillion debt in the country today. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to do it free. So
Howie, why are we sitting on that debt that you just mentioned? Well, we're sitting on that debt, Howie, because you gladly accepted a massive, massive tax giveaway from people like us to people like you. We can erase a lot of that deficit by erasing your tax cut. And then adding some taxes to you, frankly. Because I've come to the conclusion this country has a billionaire problem. And what I mean by that is that it's not the, you know, we've had billionaires before. We've had people who had held massive concentrations of wealth in their single hands. Hell, go back to the J.P. Morgans and the John D. Rockefellers and the, you know, the robber barons. Here's the thing, though. What they keep barking about, the Howie Schultzes of the world, is that doggone it, they give to charity. They set up foundations. They give to philanthropies. Doggone it. But that's the thing. They want to have absolute control over where the money goes. What's that? Feel like white trash in Appalachia are too shiftless for your donor dollars to go there? So therefore you make sure that your donor dollars don't go there? That's the billionaire. That's the billionaire model. I'm just using Appalachia as a quick example. What's that, Mr. Evilgelical Billionaire? Want to make sure that none of your billionaire bucks ever make it so that a woman can afford birth control? Yeah, that. Oh, right, because of your religious liberty. Now, see, that's the other thing. We have Medicare for all. We don't ever have to worry about offending the tender, delicate fifis. Of people like the Green family out there at Hobby Lobby? Is that them? You know, the people who went and spent a buku bajillion of their untaxed 501c3 money buying fake artifacts from the Middle East for their Museum of the Bible? Now, think about the money they pumped into that stupid Museum of the Bible. Think about how much good that could do for, say, kids who like to eat lunch at school, or kids who'd like to have a new school. Or think about how much it could do for people who wanted to go to the doctor before they're sick so they don't get sick. Yeah, sure, there's a tax rate. I was simplifying, but Randy in PA says, far be it from me to defend the billionaires, but the first $10 million, barring loopholes, is taxed at 15%. Oh, and there are loopholes. Yes, there are. There are so many loopholes that, well, I remember good old Enron when we wound up paying them for the privilege of hosting them in our country. But billionaires like to be bigots about who and what gets their money. And that's why they're shrieking. That's why they're howling. But the beautiful thing about having a racially neutral, culturally neutral, gender neutral, regionally neutral government is that it can collect the taxes from people like Howie here and spread it around in such a way that no one ever needs to know anything about any private bigotries he or any other billionaire might harbor. And isn't that just lovely? Yeah, Monique says, I feel these billionaires are the most insecure people. All that money and they're still miserable and angry. And that's, you know, that's something that I've been saying for a while. And I think given the nature of the conversation we're having now, and, you know, thanks to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for bringing this to the forefront. I think it's okay to have a conversation about what good a billionaire is. What does a democracy need with billionaires? What does a republic need with billionaires who make more little billionaires? These are real and valid questions. Jason with a note says, another arrogant, bored billionaire lining up to buy himself into office. The rest of us, U.S., are merely their playthings. F them. I know. Scott in San Diego. How weird Schultz, very good, has no good explanation for why he's mulling an independent presidential bid. Now a $3 dark roast isn't the worst thing he's tried to sell us. No kidding. But that was just the beginning of it, because among other things, it has been said in the last couple of days that, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is un-American. Mm-hmm. That may have been how weird Schultz, too. Thought I had it, don't have it. But that it's un-American to suggest that we should do things for all of us as Americans as opposed to just some of us who are apparently more American than others. Monique on the billionaires continues, and they know deep down no one loves them for them. They can have everything and are still hateful and angry instead of enjoying their life with all their riches. No help for that. Oh, I think they understand that out here in the hinterlands, there are some people who just think who would just like to kind of play a rousing chorus of "Up Against the Wall, You Redneck Mothers," and see how quickly billionaires might like to not be billionaires anymore. Les, meanwhile, subject Star Sucks. This guy wants to manage the most powerful country and military in the world, but can't manage to keep his own employees from calling the cops at the first sight of a black customer. To quote the other rich, unqualified asshole you hope to replace, Howard, go fuck yourself. Because there's that, too. And that's not a small thing. But, God Almighty, I guess there's one upside to all of this. And that is, I'm not seeing anybody out there on social media saying, golly, I sure would like for Howard Schultz to be our president. Yeah, Jason, Charbucks. Burnt coffee. That's one of the nice things, by the way, and I hope I'm not jinxing us. It's one of the nice things about the little community I live in. When I want a nice cup of coffee, if I just want an ordinary decaf, if I just want, let's say I want a decaf espresso. Ooh. No. Don't send the decaf emails. We're not going to go. No. But if I want, let's say I want to get Agnes a muy grande half calf soy latte caramel macchiato with extra cruelty free, free range, cage free foam. We got a great little place in Fayetteville. It's called Cathedral Cafe. Been going there for years. They feature equal exchange coffees that are grown and harvested and roasted and purveyed, with the focus being on the people who do the growing of the and the picking of the coffee, so that there's something approaching fairness in the capitalist transaction that takes place along the way. And it's great coffee. And it's a coffee place and a restaurant that's housed in a decommissioned, I think, Presbyterian church, hence the term Cathedral Cafe, owned by local people who pour heart and soul back into the local community. And you're known when you walk through the door. And one gets the sense that if we had a few more of those and a few less Starbucks, we would be in considerably better shape. Dave in Talibandiana with a note. Hey, Bob, all the main Nazis on Hogan's Heroes were played by Jewish actors, an Austrian, two Germans, and an American. The goddess of irony is very funny sometimes. P.S. I'm safe at Christine's house. We're going to wait out the storm, and she's cooking teriyaki fried chicken. Well, I wouldn't say that in public or anything, Dave, because folks is liable to come knocking on your door. Okay, there's a fun little trivia point, courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. Werner Klemperer only agreed to do Hogan's Heroes if the Nazis never won anything. Nice. But we have a billionaire problem. And beyond having a billionaire problem, we have a cultural cult problem. Was Albert Einstein, because he's kind of a benchmark for brilliance, for genius, was he a billionaire when he died? No, I didn't think so. Pick most anybody that you really like. Okay, not Mick Jagger, not Keith Richards, not Jimmy Buffett. Don't know about the members of the dead. But there's not a lot of people that this country truly adores who are billionaires. And as long as this debate is taking place about whether or not to make our country better by taxing the bejesus out of them And by the way, all the aficionados of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged can take that terribly, 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 horribly, awfully written book, roll it up really tight, turn it sideways, and stick it up their asses. You know, because Atlas Shrugged is all about how the poor, poor billionaires are so put upon that they have to go on strike against all us goddamn proles. It amazes me that there's still any fascination whatsoever for Ayn Rand or Atlas Shrugged, given the fact that that horrible, horrible, nasty woman at the end of her life put out her taker hands and said, "No, really, Social Security, Medicare? Yes, please." While at the same time preaching virtues of rugged individualism and objectivism. As I've said before, say whatever you wish about the Bolsheviks, but they managed to get Ayn Rand out of the country and never had to deal with her again. But there's nothing. And where did this cult of the billionaire come from? I think we can safely say. Oh, okay. Yeah, billionaires we really cared about. Monique says, but what about Thurston Howell and Lovey? We put them on that island for a reason, Monique. Tiny little cowbell for Thurston Howell III and Lovey. Lovey? Yes. I think we can lay part of the blame for our cult of wealth at the door of for-profit media. All the way back into the 80s. I read a story the other day about someone who thought they had found the most expensive soup in the world. And I thought, hold on, wait a minute. And it was some soup made with some rotten-ass fungus that's gathered from some tormented corner of China where a fungus attacks like a chrysalis and eats the butterfly from the inside out and leaves this little crunchy thing that's supposed to be some sort of goddamn delicacy. Food porn. And it said that it was the most expensive bowl of soup in the world. And immediately my mind cast back to that day. It was 1986. And Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, in syndication, of course, was on. And we were probably stoned. And Robin Leach's voice, voiceover, and they're showing, you know, this broth. And Robin Leach declared, "We went looking for the most expensive bowl of soup in the world. We found it in Japan. Snake urine soup. A favorite of sumo wrestlers all over this mysterious country. $1,000 a bowl." But it wasn't just Robin Leach. It was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, Rich Styles of the Famous Lives, because apparently there is a market in this country for envy? Envy? Yeah, envy. And so by creating this cult of the rich, we have created the false impression that being rich is an equivalent to being brilliant or to being decent or to being good-looking or civic-minded or politically savvy. When, as I have said time after time after time after time, the only thing that being fabulously rich tells us is that the person who is fabulously rich has spent a lifetime working on being fabulously rich. A man like Albert Einstein, sitting there pondering the workings of the universe. Hell, he probably forgot to eat some days, because his quick and inquisitive mind was so far beyond the mundane pissantery of the pursuit of money. Thomas Jefferson, a noted slave rapist, could have put life, liberty, and the pursuit of money in the Declaration of Independence, but if you are a friend to Dr. Bill O'Brien, you know that he chose pursuit of happiness specifically, because it did not mean pursuit of property. It meant pursuit of a functioning community that was interconnected and cared for each other, from the richest to the poorest. And then there's good old Edward Arlington Robinson, a poet. I likes me some poets. Edward Arlington Robinson, I think, would be comfortable with the conversation that we're having today. He wrote, "Whenever Richard Cory went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman from sole to crown, clean-favored and imperially slim. And he was always quietly arrayed, and he was always human when he talked. But still he fluttered pulses when he said good morning, and he glittered when he walked. And he was rich, yes, richer than a king, admirably schooled in every grace." You have to remember, this was written at a time when one of the things that we expected of the obscenely wealthy is that they had at least the manners to go with it, if not the brilliance. And he was rich, yes, richer than a king, and admirably schooled in every grace. In fine, we thought that he was everything to make us wish that we were in his place. And so on we worked, and waited for the light, and went without the meat, and cursed the bread. And Richard Cory, one calm summer night, went home and put a bullet through his head. How many billionaires do you think we have? Whether it be Bill Gates or Howard Schultz or Donald Trump, billionaire. How many billionaires do you think we've ever had or have right now who've read Edward Arlington Robinson's Richard Cory and wondered just exactly what that meant? Maybe there should be, they got together, the billionaires did, over in Davos, Switzerland last week. What a pity that no one stood up there at the podium and read them Richard Cory. Because it's not a threat. Richard Cory does himself in. Richard Cory does himself in because his life is hollow and without meaning. Because all he has is wealth. And everyone else looks at him and wishes they could be him. At least until the morning that the news went round the town that Richard Corey went home one fine, calm summer night and put a bullet in his head. Yeah, as Randy points out, Robin Leach was aptly named. Why am I yelling? I don't know. Yeah, aptly named. Richard Corey was made into a song by Simon and Garfunkel. Randy reminds us, yes, he was also made into a song by Paul McCartney. Scott in San Diego, aficionado of coffee, says, expensive menu items. Don't forget the exotic coffee that's made from beans that have passed through the digestive tract of Vietnamese weasels. He's not kidding. Kopi Yuwak is one of the most expensive coffees in the world, selling for between US$100 and $500 per pound in 2010. The specialty Vietnamese weasel coffee, which is made by collecting coffee beans eaten by wild civets, is sold at $500 per kilogram. We tried some in Hanoi. No, we didn't. Yeah, that, you know, I don't care how good it is. If you've had to sort it out of wild weasel feces, I ain't drinking it. I'll happily leave that one to the Howard Schultzes of the world. And the Howard Schultzes of the world are probably trying to figure out a way to force feed coffee beans to wild Vietnamese weasels. Yep, Monique. Speaking of the snake urine soup, that soup's going to exit your body the same exact way as some Campbell's soup. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But when Howard Schultz says that America can't provide health care to every citizen, all he's saying is that he personally lacks the vision, the imagination, the creativity, and perhaps, in fact, the compassion to even want to try. That's all. That's all. But, well, if we continue to look to billionaires for solutions to our working class problems, there's only one guarantee. Our working class problems will only get worse. That's enough of Howie Schultz. He's clueless. Hopefully he'll disappear. He showed up at Union Square bookstore in New York City last night, maybe it was, to talk about his vision for America. You know, because every billionaire has a vision for America. And the only visions for America that matter are the billionaire visions for America because capitalism. And that was all well and good until somebody stood up in the room and said, "Don't help reelect Trump, you billionaire asshole." Ta-da. Uh, Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, Howard Schultz. Sam Cedar challenged Howard or any other billionaire to a debate. I'd love to see that. Also, Starbucks is horrible coffee. One cup was enough for me. Well, when you're in a bind, you'll go there. In point of fact, we made the great Starbucks tour of North Georgia while we were on our way down to the big Malloy shindig. And those were exigent circumstances because Chris was operating on fumes, having flown all the way from Germany. So we stopped periodically, and Chris would throw back, and Agnes. Agnes tried to go shot for shot with a true caffeine aficionado. And, well, Agnes was vibrating like a struck tuning fork by the end of the day. I think she finally went to sleep sometime about Tuesday after we got back. But there's an example for you, courtesy of Monique. Look at the entire Trump administration and followers. None of them are happy ever. It's just anger. They had the branches of government under their control for two solid years, and they were still angry. You'd be angry, too, if you had everything you ever wanted within your reach, but you couldn't have it within your grasp because a septuagenarian orange man-baby temper-throwing toddler was at the controls. So this is, you know, that's just the first hour or so. There's a whole bunch more out there. We may or may not get to it. We badly need to get to what happened overnight to Jussie Smollett, star of the TV show Empire. Well, here's what happened to Jussie Smollett. He's gay. And at about 2 o'clock in the morning, exiting a subway, he was attacked in Chicago early this morning. And by subway, I mean the crummy sandwich shop, not a mass transit conveyance. A pair of white men wearing ski masks said, "Are you that faggot of Empire?" And then used the other word, you know, ginger, that ain't ginger. And then proceeded to attack him and used a rope and bleach. At one point in time, one of the guys wrapped the rope around his neck and then poured bleach on him. As they ran away, they screamed, "This is MAGA country." Remember when the millionaire for-profit media had a sad couple of weeks back because people were expressing themselves about all those lovely, lovely, charming, properly raised, well-mannered white boys from Covington Catholic wearing their MAGA hats going after old women walking on the mall in D.C., going after a Native American elder, getting into a screaming fest with the Hoteps there in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and how the multimillionaires of the for-profit media fell all over themselves apologizing for making the Covington Catholic boys sad. Because it's just not fair to assume that they're rotten human beings because they're wearing fucking MAGA hats. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm just sitting around waiting for it, to the extent the story gets any reporting, I give it about 24 hours before the multimillionaire for-profit media start falling all over themselves, apologizing to those poor, misunderstood, economically anxious guys who tried to kill Jussie Smollett. MAGA. As Steve from Georgistan says, to quote Jules Winfield, played by Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction, sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'll never know because I'll never eat the filthy motherfucker. And there we go. As Clarence points out, wealth owed, O-D-E, behind every great fortune there is a great crime. There's a passage like that in one of the Raymond Chandler novels, and it's absolutely brilliant. Somewhere along the way, you had to screw somebody over to get all that money. Somewhere along the way, you had to hurt somebody. Somewhere along the way, you had to make somebody suffer. And there's no getting around it. Behind every great fortune, there's a great crime. So let's run over to the phones and check in this Titanic Tuesday with Todd in South Carolina Stan. Hey, Todd.
What's up, my friend? How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. You know, you wow. First of all, last night, oh, my God, that was a great show last night. I listened to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
And to any of the reggae listeners, the dub listeners, there's Prince Allah has got an excellent, I mean, this is like hardcore dub. It's called Lot's Wife. And, you know, it's a drum and bass type thing. There's a little instrumental, little.
I had no idea.
Man.
Well, she deserves a song.
Yo, see, a lot of reggae is straight from the Bible, you know, anyway. But, you know, they just use Bible verses and put some, you know, drum and bass to a bit. Lot's Wife, turn a pillar of salt. No, I can't sing, but then that bass line comes in. Oh, man. This is like, when I bought that, it was like, nobody had that. They had to get a Trojan box set, which is like collector's type shit. But, you know, it's on YouTube now. Matter of fact, I'm going to send you the link. I already got a copy because this is serious.
Cool.
This is like nugget material. You got to have nuggets for this, but it's serious. So listen, you're talking about, I like what Clarence just said. You know, it made me think of the Catholic Church. You know, that's, they do a lot of good work in the community because they fucked everybody.
Yes.
You getting what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So that's kind of interesting. And you know, to your theme tonight with the billionaires, it's pathetic. It is so pathetic, and I absolutely agree. And I think we touched on that. I don't know, maybe a couple of conversations ago, we might have touched on that. There's no equality between righteousness, intelligence, and income. Or maybe that's not the right way to put it. I tell you what, the right way to put it is, look what you do. All right, look what you do. Look what you provide. The knowledge, reflection, the ability for other people to chime in and get some discourse, as opposed to people who are making, you know, God knows what, and they don't know shit. Okay, look at Sean Hannity, college dropout. Rush Limbaugh, college dropout. And look how much influence they have.
But look, they have that influence because look who they're influencing. They're influencing people who want to hate in the first place. It's just bias confirmation.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it is. I hope Flush Flimball's polonial cyst is acting up at the mere thought of having a 70% marginal tax rate dropped on his dropped on him.
You know, man, you got, you know, I have a lot to say about that. I don't understand where the facts, the empirical evidence already shows if we do what we used to do. I mean, people can make all the money you want. That's fine. But guess what? You have to put a certain amount.
But see, yeah, right. I think I know where you're going, Todd. Don't pretend that that makes you some sort of Calvinist elect.
No. Oh, thank God. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And the dead hand of old Jean Calvin continues to torment us. This idea that the acquisition of wealth is some proof of divine favor. It's just proof that you got lucky. Now, okay, well, to be fair, Todd, there is a difference between, say, Howard Schultz and Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Schultz was not born on third thinking he hit a triple.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump was. Donald Trump was filthy fucking rich by the time he was 4 years old. Because of the way that his dirty old Klansman daddy squirreled the money around, again, to keep from paying taxes on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Howard Schultz apparently came up, unless I'm dead wrong about this, and if I am, somebody will tell me. That's that ad hoc Horn Research Committee business going on there. But it's my understanding he grew up hard somewhere like in the projects in Queens.
Trump?
No, Howard Schultz.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
But the thing is, there's something that happens after you acquire a certain amount of money, and you think that people might want you to do a little bit more for your country, because with great wealth comes great obligation. You know, that whole ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country stuff. And we see where that got John Kennedy.
Yeah, I think there's a large part of our population that believes what you're saying, that if they're rich, they must know something, and they must be smarter than me, and I better do what they say, and it doesn't work like that. It looks sexy, you know, but no, I vote no on that. That's just silly. Now, I saw Schultz's his little blurb thing on MSNBC yesterday, and I was not at all. I'm like, this is a show. I'm, you know, the first thing I was like, oh, here's another Jill Stein. Here we go with this bullshit. Come on.
Well, for all intents and purposes, he is. He's certainly not. He's not going to draw votes away from the maggots.
Mm-mm. Nope.
32% of the that was new polling data this morning. 32% of the American people think that Donald Trump is smart enough for the job of president. 32%.
For some reason, I think you saw Morning Joe this morning.
Well, I did. I mean, it's my filthy little habit. I was back and forth between that and SpongeBob.
Well, oh man, don't get me started on that. All right, man, I'm about to pop. So listen, and you know, I was back and forth.
Breathe, letting go now, letting go now.
I was doing well. All right, thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Align your.
Just hit me in the back of the head. She just hit me. I swear to God.
Yeah. Align your chakras.
Oh man. Okay. Because I have to mention George Stan, man, and Washington Journal, because that was...
Oh, did we have a morning?
Man, oh, please. I don't want to take up too much time, but I'm going to let, you know, But, okay, so what we were talking about, I was pissed off when I was watching Joe this morning. Okay, it's nice to see him back. I don't think his head is right, or whatever. He's still sick. It wasn't as bad as he was yesterday, but this person, known as Joe Scarborough, had the fucking nerve to say, "Oh, well, we were on Trump's case from the beginning. Did you hear him say that this morning?
Yeah, did you run screaming out into the yard, tearing at your hair, eating dirt, and running rabbits?
There are no electronics working left in this house.
Trashed them all, did you?
Motherfucker. No. He said that shit with a straight face. Now, you know goddamn well that is not true. Because I said some foul shit about what they were... Now, I remember what it was foul, but it was true. But, all right. That didn't upset you?
I wasn't okay, but I wasn't quite awake either, so... I'm usually a little foggy when I'm waking up for morning Joe, because I really shouldn't be up, because I don't go to sleep until late. Because you got to remember, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is what 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. is to everybody else.
I got you. You just get in your third gear. Okay. Hey, it is what it is. Yeah, I'm up early. That's my time. I'm up early for everybody else. You know.
Yeah, see, I have to be real perky at 6 p.m.
Yeah, that, right. Yep. So anyway, he said that, and, you know, I was like, okay, whatever. And the Sims character, I mean, I don't know where he's coming from. Like, I mean, he's got his book out, and I guess some of it is true, but he was giving Trump way too much shade. You know, he is not from New York. He was not living in New York like some of us were in the 80s. You know, who know what it's, I mean, this guy, Trump has been a nasty, scoundrel, racist asshole his whole life. His whole life. This is nothing new. So, I mean, what do you think about Sims? Did you see any of that?
I mean, I think it's funny. Because, oddly enough, just last night I mentioned the story about how his handlers are saying, Mr. President, don't tweet at Cliff Sims. I mean, come on. Don't do it, sir. You're the President of the United States. You're above all this. Just ignore him, sir. And then, boom, like clockwork, there it was this morning. Well, I mean, that's what the report was. Yeah, please, sir. And so, bang, at 8:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time,
a low-level staffer that I hardly knew named Cliff Sims wrote yet another boring book based on made-up stories and fiction.
I mean, made-up stories are fiction. Fiction's made-up stories. There's nobody checking his work for redundancy.
He pretended to be an insider when, in fact, he was nothing more than a gopher. He signed a non-disclosure agreement. He is a mess.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's the... It didn't take long for Cliff Sims to capitalize. Because he immediately tweeted pictures of what a nobody who Trump didn't even remotely know he was. I mean, there's a picture of Sims... walking and talking with Donald Trump. And Trump's not looking at him like, who the fuck are you? And then there's a picture of Sims in the Oval Office with Press Secretary Jethreen Bodine, and John Kelly's in the background, and over there's McMaster, and right. And then there's a picture of him around a table, and Sims is the one sitting closest to him, looking like, you know, he's really, you know, somebody. And then there's a copy of the New York Times headline, Thursday, December 14th, 2017, GOP agrees on final tax bill, and he's got out his big big executive order sign and crayon, and he block prints Cliff. And this is the funny thing. It's a big capital C and then a little capital L and then an I with a dot and then two little capital Fs.
Great job. Thanks.
And then that thing that passes for his signature that looks like an electrocardiogram gone haywire.
You're kidding me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, he knew who he was, and so that, and he signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Well, dipshit, your non-disclosure agreements aren't worth the paper that the Michael Cohen printed them on, buddy.
Yeah, that Dr. Seuss cat is out of the bag. That, you know, that's not even what I was talking about. So we'll see what happens with that.
Hey, by the way, you know, there was some, sometimes stories just won't quite die.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a non-story, and it really shouldn't occupy much in the way of our time, but damn it, if nothing else, we have to enjoy the schadenfreude that the universe affords us.
Uh-oh.
So there's a follow-up to the story about the great fast food feast at the White House.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Turns out that a report by The Root, who did some interviewing, found out that a significant number of the African-American players on the Clemson team took a pass on showing up. They were not named in the article, but three Clemson players who are African-American told Julius Geezer that a bunch of players didn't want to show up.
Right.
And so the ones who did show up were most of the white boys from the Clemson squad. Three-fourths of the African-American contingent said no thanks. One of the offensive stars who spoke to The Root on condition of anonymity said, it wasn't like we had a team meeting or anything. Players were talking amongst each other, but everybody was like, I'm not going to that.
Right.
Nobody was pressured to attend or not to attend. One guy said, not saying anything against the players who went, but if you look at who went, freshmen and people fighting for playing time, you'll see what I'm talking about.
I gleaned that when I looked at the picture. I mean, the quarterback, he stands out. And then I looked at everyone, obviously for obvious reasons. So, I mean, because I live in South Carolina, you know, you see these guys in the paper.
Oh, no, Clemson's a big damn deal down there, yeah.
Oh, shoot. Between the game, you know, that's the whole, they're like proteins, the Gamecocks and Clemson. That's like, you know.
Well, I mean, that's what Alabama and South Carolina have that in common. No pro team in the state. So, you know, you in South Carolina, you're either a USC fan or you're a Clemson fan.
Oh, it's a huge, exactly. This and it's NFL level. I mean, people have condominiums across from the stadium. I mean, nice. I mean, so they can tailgate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know. So, and what was up, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's why I got a little excited when you brought it up. There was so much wrong with that whole endeavor, and what the hell was that with the top coat on inside?
Maybe they were turning down the heat because they couldn't. Probably the guy who knew how to run the thermostat was furloughed. Believe you me, come tomorrow, I'll probably be walking around in a heavy wool top coat here.
Now, look, Bob, we love hamburgers, but guess what? When I see a whole tray of cold, coagulated, nasty, greasy ham, that shit looks fucked up.
Oh, man, what are you I don't eat till after the program. You trying to ruin things already? I mean, we've already talked about funguses that eat caterpillar innards and rich people like to have it made into soup. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, come on, you'll get through. Your food has not been inspected. There's no telling how many fingertips and cockroaches you have ingested.
By the way, nectarines, plums, I think apricots, don't touch them. They may be, and Jesus, it was one of those where you go, oh, shit, okay, won't buy any of those for a while. But it was... I forget the name of the company. Let me see. Plum Recall.
Oh, boy.
Ah, there it is. Peaches, nectarines, and plums recalled from major supermarkets nationwide. Just maybe check your pantry and get, because, you know, we like our fresh fruit this time of year. Especially this time of year. It is said that, you know, I've said sometimes that there are some winters where the last jar of canned tomatoes from last summer are the only thing that get me through February. Just open them suckers up and eat them.
This was one of those days. I don't know about you, but it got dark here. It started getting dark at 2 o'clock.
Oh, it's just been grim as hell here today. I mean, the days are getting longer. And as of February 1st, there will only be 50 more days of winter. And I don't care if they strangle that goddamn groundhog right now. But it's just awful. I just feel like crap. And given that, you know, and given that the high and low temperature on my birthday is going to be high 25, low 18, I'm more committed now than ever to someday spending.
Oh, wait a minute. Is your birthday Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm more committed now than ever to maybe one of these days spending my birthday in the Southern Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to see what it's like to enjoy the actual. You know, I could go to Australia for my birthday and it would be there would be a freak, you know, snowstorm or some crazy shit like that. You know, Bob.
Don't say that.
But anyway,
you can't.
Jack Vanderberg. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got that, we're doing fundraising free radio this week, but we do have a birthday fundraiser going for Coal River Mountain Watch over on Facebook. And I was just going to mention that for folks because we actually got more than, I set a goal of $1,000 for Coal River Mountain Watch, and we've passed the $500 mark. So for folks who do Facebook, go ahead.
I think that's wonderful, obviously, because for obvious reasons, it's not even worth talking about. However, I have a question about your activity. Do you feel like your neighbors understand what you're doing, and do they appreciate it?
Oh, and we're not exactly flying. We're not exactly flying. Don't talk a lot to. I mean, but next door, sure. Nice folks. Those are the folks I did the barbecue for. The other side, no, we don't talk so much. And
the people who do the nasty stuff with coal, probably not, I guess.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
In general is what I mean. Like, you know, let's just say not immediate proximity, but you know how it is in these small, you know, like where I live, you see people in the supermarket and the stores and stuff, you know. I mean...
A lot of people. Are you still doing that radio stuff? I'm still doing that radio stuff. Yeah, where do you work? Nowhere.
Oh yeah. Well, since you brought up C-SPAN,
because this is important. I don't want anybody dying of listeria in the Horn Family Community Congregation.
Oh no, more recall.
Jack Dot Vandenberg. I don't know why it's spelled that way, but it's J-A-C Dot Vandenberg of Yonkers, New York, has sent out potentially listeria-tainted fresh fruit all over the freaking country.
Why?
If you have purchased nectarines, peaches, or plums from Aldi in Alabama, Georgia, or Kentucky, take them back.
Oh, shit. Shit,
Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, or Virginia, too.
Mm.
If you're in California and you've purchased nectarines from Costco, take them back. In New York, if you bought nectarines or peaches from Fairway Market, gone. In Maine, the Hannaford's peaches, get them out. Nectarines or peaches from Market Basket in Massachusetts. Nectarines that purchased at Walmart in Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, or West Virginia. and peaches from Walmart in Kentucky, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, or West Virginia. They come from Chile. They have a PLU sticker number of, these are the peaches, 4044, 3035, or 4378. The plums at Aldi came in a 2-pound bag branded Rio Duero. And the nectarines from Costco were in a 4-pound plastic container with the brand Rio Duero. And Listeria monocytogenes is something you don't want.
That's why I got quiet. When you said Listeria will kill you, it won't make, it can make you sick, but it will fucking kill you. Listeria is nothing to play with, period.
Right, especially if you're young or have a weakened immune system, elderly. It causes miscarriages and stillbirths in pregnant women. And even people who are healthy will probably get a high fever, severe headache, stiffness, nausea, and abdominal pain and diarrhea. But hey, we had our we had a government shutdown, Todd, and the Republicans didn't give a fuck, and we stopped inspecting food, so a bunch of plums and peaches and nectarines come in from Chile on a boat because climate change is just a fucking Chinese hoax, so we send fruit on a boat. You get the idea. And it doesn't get inspected. And next thing you know, you got a few dead people because Republicans.
Man.
Because you know what? That wall would have kept out that Listerine virus.
Now, let me ask you a question as a media professional. Why is it that this is one of the, to me, it's one of the most important things because it touches everyone, yet I fail to hear this enough from the professional punditry class about the lack of inspection of food and water? Because think about it. This is how you can control a population is with food and water. If you can fuck somebody's food and water up, you got them. That's us. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And for all I know, the Republicans think we need to cull the herd a little bit. I mean, there's a bunch of us out there hollering for, billionaires to be taxed at a higher marginal tax rate. It, certainly we need to be culled.
Well,
I mean, what a lovely country they could have if it was just Trump and the Republican Party and the maggots.
Oh, we're just in the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, now that sounds like some of the folks that, let me tell you, this morning on Washington Journal, it was as good as it was bad, though. That's the thing. There were some very, very, I mean, like, I'm no judge. I'm saying them from my opinion. There were a few very good calls. Like, people held their shit together. They had facts and figures. But at the same time, the craziness. This mad, what is going on with this? It's like a mass delusion. Like, all right, I give you facts and figures here. And there were two callers from Michigan between 8:50 and 9 o'clock. And there was a woman. And she said, I just don't understand it. And she sounded like somebody's grandma. Like, she sounded so nice. Like, oh, you would give this woman your wallet and say, hey, I'm going swimming in the lake. You know, hold my wallet. I'll be back in like 10 minutes. I mean, but my God, this woman's evil. So she's like, oh, I don't understand. There's nothing with this Russian investigation, and they keep tormenting Trump, and he's been under a microscope, and why don't they just leave him alone? And I just
leave Britney alone.
Yeah, he's just put upon. Just leave him alone. Let him be president. And you know, it's just stop. So that was her thing. Then there was a gentleman in that same time frame, between 8:50 and 9 o'clock. And he said, God put Trump in. You know, and he said Trump is like Cyrus. And he's not Republican or Democrat. He's here to save us. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you just got fan mail, Todd. John said, subject line, Morning Joe. I'm glad Todd mentioned Morning Joe. Every day when I see that asshole talk about how bad Trump is or what he's done now, pisses me off. He may not remember filleting himself about how good it was that Trump was elected, or he and Mika at his fucking party all smiles. Yeah, Joe may not remember, but Pepperidge Farms and John Goddamned Haynes remembers. Good day, my good man.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly. Yup. That's what, yup. Yup. Thank you. See, we're not alone. I mean, he's slimy, man. That's slimy. You know what?
You're not talking about John. You're talking about Joe.
Say anything. I'm talking about Joe. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Yes. No, I'm talking about Joe. Right. Yeah. You know, come on. He acts like people are not watching him. Come on, man. Please. You know when I made that joke, I was like, hey, you need to get some tissue. He's got the Krispy Kreme around his mouth. No, I mean, come on. So, that being said, yeah, so I absolutely agree with that. I mean, it's pathetic. For him to do that, it was just unbelievable.
Hey, you know what? You said the magic words. You know what? You know what we're going to do on my birthday morning? We've got to take our daughter to the doctor, and so I'm going to make goddamn sure that we are at the Krispy Kreme when the Hot Now sign is on.
When the flashing? Oh shit!
Yeah, the neon Hot Now sign. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just give me six.
Can you drink coffee in there? Do they have decaf?
Yeah, they got decaf. Coffee? It's not the best in the world, but yeah.
But, oh, yeah. That's the other thing. Oh, wait, one more thing. That sounds beautiful, by the way. And you're so fortunate because to be, you know, with your person, you know what I mean? Because that's a great thing, you know, all the time. You know, it's the simple thing. Sometimes it's simple things in life. And for some reason, I get the feeling that you, like many other people, can see walking in the woods as a religious experience, just being at peace.
Yes, I get more spirituality out of a walk in the woods than I've ever gotten walking in a church.
Say it again.
I get more spirituality out of walking in the woods than I've ever gotten out of walking in a church.
And folks who haven't been in tune with the earth like that, I am what I am. I'm just saying that people who haven't gotten that feeling don't know what we're talking about. But when you're in the woods, and it can be a small group, usually it's a smaller group, you know. But when you take a few steps and you just stop and you just listen, and you can feel the earth under your feet, and you know you hear the wildlife. You know, it puts things in perspective, and it's different. And you know, there's a large segment of our population who are scared of the woods. You know, they've never.
Well, I mean, you don't just go stomping around out there. There's shit in the woods. it's like a buddy of mine who was from Eastern PA. Once told me that growing up and going hunting, the fellow would look at him and say, "You be careful, there's bears in them woods."
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's stuff out there. You know, I mean, when we moved to the suburbs, when we moved to the suburbs for a few years, I was in right at the Audubon Sanctuary. You know, John James Audubon?
Oh, yeah.
It was like way out. It was way out. I mean, that was like rural, you know. So we'd walk out, you know, that was our thing. We played in the woods, and you see all kinds of deer and ruffled grouse, all types of birds. But, what I meant is like you know, when you work with, quote-unquote inner-city youth, man, a lot of those kids are scared of the woods because they see...
Oh, no kidding. There's an old story out there about the city boys who went on their first overnight camping trip, and they'd been mm-hmm. tormented by mosquitoes all day long. Just getting eaten alive by them. You know how it gets, especially, you know, those mosquitoes that are the size of eagles.
Yep.
Well, nighttime came, and they'd been battling the mosquitoes all day long and spraying with the DEET and everything, and it just wasn't working. And nighttime came, summertime. They get in their tents, the net, you know, they zip the net and everything. And after a little while, a firefly lights up inside the tent, and one of the little city boys hollers, "I ain't never coming to the woods again. Damn mosquitoes are coming after with flashlights."
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's funny. It happens. It's true. I don't know how Pedro went. I don't know. Pedro may not show up for work anymore. It might be his last day.
It's fuck it. Gone drinking. Gone day drinking.
Ask Steve in Georgetown. I'm serious. He probably saw it. It's no joke. So, look, man. I hope you get your Krispy Kreme donuts and
You got to find your little joys where you can. You know, Monique pointed out to me a minute ago, yeah, by the way, Morning Joe had Bridgegate Christie on this morning, too. That's where I started barking.
Oh, did you? They gave him a platform. I was shocked. Did you see how long they did?
Yeah, it was one pitch short of just being an appearance on QVC.
Look. He's full-fledged dickhead. What's wrong with him?
And, of course, and all of this, you know, the buck stops here, all of that stuff. But somehow or another, it didn't quite manage to... he couldn't quite bring himself to actually criticize the guy whose fault all of this is. You know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Julius Caesar.
That's what I'm saying. Why is he still giving... What is he hiding? He's still
telling himself that... That there's a place for Chris Christie in the world right now.
Mika told him, look, little Negro. She told him, said, look here, fat boy, you need to come to reality.
Get to church and find the foot of the cross.
I mean, she looked at him like you are out of your mind. Why are you still? And Joe said the same thing. Like, come on, let it go. You're done. I mean, what are you defending?
I caught him attacking Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, saying that he owed it to Trump to tell him that he was going to recuse himself when he offered him the job after he won the election. But the thing is, after he won the election and before Trump was inaugurated, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III didn't realize he would be perjuring himself in front of Congress, which, you know, kind of brings me to a separate topic, namely...
But wait, I have to cut you off because, you know, I have a... That's like hitting a nerve in my tooth, man, an open fucking nerve, when you talk about this person you're talking about. Because how is it? I mean, it's not like he lied about meeting a Russian bartender. He lied about having a meeting with a Russian ambassador to the United States of America. How do you forget that? Please, answer that question, Bob, to Kay.
Well, see, there's no answer to that.
How many times did he lie about that shit? He lied about it in writing. He lied about it verbally. He lied about it in the hearing. Am I exaggerating here? Because I'm a little fucking pissed off.
Go, man.
No, this is bullshit. And people just gloss that over. That is the head law enforcement. He was the head law enforcement. And look what he did. He was the one, and people act like they're not watching. And some people are paying attention. He got caught on camera saying, yes, we want to deter the South American people from migrating up here by family separation. This is going to be our policy because I think it's going to deter them.
Oh, no, that little shit weasel got caught seven different ways from Sunday.
I hope, and wait a minute, he is guilty as fuck. I hope he gets a subpoena.
Well, are you still there? Todd.
And Trump.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Can I help you?
That's me.
No. What?
I heard noises. It was just weird. Because.
Oh, you know what that was? No. I hear it. Wait. Wait. There it is. Listen. Oh, there it is. It's North Carolina. It's Ron. Love you, Ron, man.
But the thing is. Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions didn't ever. He lied like a, you know, he lied like a cheap Muslim prayer rug in the desert. And this is what I want to know, if Mueller was able to indict Roger Stone for lying to Congress. Well, hell, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III is a hell of a lot easier get.
Bob.
Because you just said it. Hey. How do you forget that meeting you had with the most senior ranking member of the Russian government in the United States? I was kind of busy. You know, The Republican convention was going on there, and I was kissing hands and shaking babies all over the place, and as this Russian fella just walked, I didn't know he was a Russian ambassador or a foreign minister or nothing. He just wanted to know, could he come to the party? And I said, sure, come on to the party. We hospitable people here.
It's rather profound, don't you think?
I'm rather curious as to where the fucking indictment is.
Well, this is what I'm curious about also, because remember, and we both remember this, remember he deferred to Comey when he was doing a job interview, which, you know, he's in front of the Senate and they're questioning him. He said, I don't know, can I answer this question? Am I part of this investigation? You know, so, and that told me that he'd already talked to, like, in other words, Mueller had already tapped him. And started pumping him for information early on because it was so obvious that he lied. Like we said, he lied in writing, he lied verbally, he lied every which way from Sunday, he lied. And you know who else is weird like that? It's Carter Page. I think they turned Carter Page early on. Because remember when Chris Hayes...
Yeah, Carter Page probably wasn't worth the ink and the paper.
Because he's just too fucking flaky, he's just too weird.
Yeah, you put that guy on the stand at your peril.
Oh, and speaking of on the stand, the other person who, in this same genre that we're talking about, like, looked so guilty so early on, Giuliani. Do you think Giuliani, because, you're a lawyer person.
No, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio, but go ahead.
Well, I'm not a psychologist, but I have a degree in psychology, so what? So listen. So what I'm saying is that, from what I know about the law, do you think he is talking himself into being an unreliable witness because he's so damn guilty? So that when the shit hits the fan, he can just they'll be like they can't trust his testimony.
Yeah, do I think he's trying to stir the shit until it stinks? Yes. And do I think he's trying to at this point in time insulate himself against liability by just being nuck and futz? Absolutely.
That's the second, right, point B. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. Because he's so deep in the doo-doo now. He has, you know, what else can he do? I don't know how much more of this. I'm just concerned though about this 30 some odd this standard deviation worth of people, man. This 33, 36, it's probably a little more. It could be 40. When you listen to them, when they call in Washington Journal, when you present them with facts, they'll come up with anything to just deflect and deny what's going on.
Well, they've been thoroughly programmed. Asa mentioned something to me last night when I was talking about all the division that I see on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Asa said, if I were you, Bob, I would take anything that I see on the interweb tubes with a gigantic rock of salt. A lot of it is bot traffic, as much as 40%, according to New York Magazine. Let that settle in. As much as 40% of anything you see on social media is bot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a wonderful example earlier today.
That's insane. That's crazy. I mean,
a bot sent out a tweet that said, "Lovely photograph of a young Grace Kelly."
Mm-hmm.
It was James Dean.
What the fuck?
And you just go, well, you're a bot, aren't you? Because there's no human that makes that mistake.
But how many people really are paying attention? Because I just don't think people are paying attention.
Well, I am. And let me give you a horrible, horrible example that I don't want anybody to go looking for. Because it made me sick.
You sound serious as hell. Okay.
There was a story. It was just a tweet of a video of a couple of street dogs hanging around outside what looked like a garage or maybe a little bodega. I don't know. Ostensibly in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And this sickening failure of a human being lures one of the dogs in, and then just whoosh, stabs it. I hated the fact that I even saw it. But then my spidey sense kicked in. Because I caught myself getting, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be outraged to see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that shit on social media? One.
Because.
Why is it allowed?
You see?
But my outrage was being manipulated.
Right. Yep.
And yep. Fear. somebody tweeted and said, "All right, Twitter, do your thing." In other words, get people outraged and find a guy. And then I scrolled down the thread, and it turns out there was another story that said, "Yeah, it happened in Mexico, and the guy who did it has been the recipient of some rough justice and is now as dead as that dog." But and I put up a little thread on Twitter about it because I recognized the fact that I had just been deliberately manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I intervened in the situation myself by recognizing what was going on and went, "Oh, why do they want?" And then I thought, why did they make such a production out of point? Why is it Mexican?
Mm-hmm.
Because in a regime like this, whose every waking moment is focused on racism, xenophobia, bigotry, homophobia, and any other form of hate that it can get its mind on, and then I looked at who tweeted the video, and it was somebody mm-hmm. who claimed to be a teacher in Spain.
Mm-hmm. And this was on your Twitter feed?
Well, this is what I saw on my feed, and I'm like, no, this all stinks.
But you see how quickly that happens?
Sure. And
now what happens if people aren't savvy? That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's precisely my point as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because a whole bunch of people had just seen it and get him! Roar!
And then that's it. If you get 20 people and they retweet that, and then it's like, you know, and this is the ground floor of this new type of propaganda. And the reason I say that is that, remember, this, well, as we, you know, everybody knows now, you know, in Great Britain, this is how the Brexit whole nonsense got, and it was very successful there. But remember, there are a lot of countries in Africa and also India, where folks don't have, because the infrastructure is not set up, people do everything on their cell phone. they had bank accounts and everything, but everything's digital. They use their cell phones. And they get their news, I mean, village to village. They get, you know, on the cell phone. And they're doing the same thing. As a matter of fact, there is evidence of Bolsonaro, right? Remember that last election with Bolsonaro?
Yeah.
Now, folks are saying that you know, there was a lot of manipulation with social media. So what I'm saying is that we have to get this is the new frontier now, and I guess folks had to be taught. You know, I'm not on Facebook. You know, all my friends, everybody else is, but when I moved from MySpace to Facebook, and when I saw Facebook, I was like, oh hell no, this is like making a dossier yourself. I'm not going to do this. And I just never got engaged in that, but. I think it's great if you have a small business or a restaurant or a food truck, whatever, radio show. No, it's different. But why do people get their news from social media? That's what I don't understand. Just read the paper.
Well, it costs money. But let's be clear. It's not just Facebook. It's Twitter. It's not just Facebook and Twitter. It's Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It's not just Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It's Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. And it's not just Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. It's Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat and Pinterest.
That's it.
And because it's all – and the only – and this is only a partial fix. The only thing I can come up with is that first and foremost, we need like a national commandment. Thou shalt not use computers in any way in thy elections. I mean, this is straight out of the verse from the Orange Catholic Bible in Dune. Thou shalt not make a machine in the image of a human mind.
Mm,
you can, that's profound. You can at least take that much of it out of the equation, because remember, The act of war that Russia perpetrated against the United States was not just placing false stories.
Damn, Bob. I think that's an excellent idea, man. That makes all the sense in the world. Anything political is not, you're not allowed to put that online, period. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm saying start with the elections process. Paper ballots counted by human beings.
Oh, we need that. Yeah.
Start with that, because remember, the Russians were attacking various state voter databases.
Oh, I remember.
And eventually,
that.
10 or 15 or 20 years from now, we'll find out that they actually flipped some goddamn votes in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania.
And Pennsylvania.
We probably will.
Look, here too. I'm telling you, when I go in the voting place, I see the lady's laptop. I'm like, I want to tell her, I'm like, you know, you're online right now. You should disengage your Wi-Fi on your laptop. Stop. But then they had the police, and they're all, you know, you can't stick out. You know how it is. So you can't stick out.
Yeah.
You got to be a little Nazi. But so, you know, it's crazy. But, yeah, we need paper ballots. Of course we do. That's the only way we can stench. We have to staunch this bleeding. It's a mess. It's a real mess, man. Come on. I mean, all these other countries try to liberate, and they dip their thumbs in ink, and we know who voted, who didn't. And at least in South Carolina, our machines are so old now. We're working with machines that are 12, 14 years old. You know, they're old. So things are moving on with that. You know, before we part, may I talk about some food?
No, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, so everyone needs greens once in a while. We got to have kale, mustard greens, whatever.
The more the merrier.
Oh, so my aunt, before she left from here, she, you know, her diet, she had to make a lot of, you know, eat a lot of greens. And she showed me how to saute them instead of doing it the old way where you have all that nasty grease floating at the top.
Oh no! You mean like around when you go to Tamarack down in Beckley, they do braised kale.
That's what I'm getting at.
And it's skillet
now,
done.
Look,
it's skillet done.
That's what I'm talking about. This shit. You know how you make a beer run? You will make a fucking kale. This, so, and everyone has it. All you need is a bottle of Italian dressing, and now they had the prepackaged.
Whoa, meal. Kinky.
Okay, but I still. Yo,
Italian dressing?
Italian dressing. It's got the oil, the vinegar, the spices. You put that in a nice stainless steel pot, nice solid, you know, soup pot, because it's going to cook down. It's like bud. You know, it looks big when it's growing, but it will.
Wait a minute. It's like bud. It looks big when it's growing. Yeah.
You know, but he ain't got shit. It's like, oh, that's all I got. God damn. Anyway. So,
a whole
yeah,
lot of water in there.
And it turns bright green. Oh, my God.
Now, well, see, the way they do it over at Tamarack, you know, they braise it with the with olive oil and stuff, and they then
right.
they just toss in, like, some thinly, not chopped, but slivered onions.
Mm.
And I think there's probably a little bit of bacon grease in there, too, and just toss it around and let it cook down. And oh, it's fantastic. Oh, it's delicious. And then they've got, there's this mustard sauce that they sell there that's made by some probably little old lady up a holler in West Virginia, because that's what Tamarack's all about. And it's a sweet hot mustard sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And you put a little pouring of that on those greens, you're gone.
Mm.
You'll go wild.
See, that's good eating, and that is so good. You know, kale. Especially kale is like vitamin packed. Like kale is the shit. Like, you know, everyone. That sounds a little. All right, okay, that's funny. We're on the same page as that. And I can't go back to the old timey Thanksgiving with the nasty sake greens with the grease. No, I just.
No, I can still do that. Long as I got cornbread to sop the pot liquor with, I'm good.
Well, you know, you got to make a showing, but I'm not going back for seconds. I'll put it like that. Well, you know what, man? I appreciate you taking my call. And,
I want you to know those. What Agnes did with the risotto and the portobello mushrooms and the scallops and the hog jowl the other night.
Shit. What?
Quit.
Risotto and I'm here.
So I do the trimming. Got a hunk of hog jowl out, cut the skin off the back and left a nice thickness of fat on it, and just slapped it fat side down in a skillet and let that fat render, and got a good puddle going, dumped in the rice and the portobello and let it brown in the hot sizzling, yeah. And then
that was smelling good. Was it smelling good, man?
Oh, it was smelling good. Good. And then, of course, chicken broth and probably about a half a cup of dry sherry.
Oh, yeah.
Covered it, let it do its thing, moved it over into another pan, cleared out the skillet, fried up more jowl, got more grease going, got the jowl perfect, pulled the jowl out.
Mm-hmm.
Let it sit aside. Fried those.
Just enough grease off the jowl, then you took it out.
Fried those scallops in that hog jowl grease.
Shit.
Serve the scallops on top of the risotto, with the hog jowl all the way around. I'm still thinking about it. I may have to save up my nickels for a slap year to get another bag of scallops, but it's going to happen.
Scallops are delicious.
Yeah, you know, I love shrimp. We've been talking about that chicken fried lobster out of Binion's Cafe. I love lobster. Mm-hmm. I love shrimp. I love crab. I think I love scallops more than any other seafood. And it got me to thinking, if it was that good with the risotto, what would scallop, not shrimp and grits, what would scallops and grits be like?
I'm good. Scallops, grits, and bacon. There's a bacon grease on there. Because scallops are mild and tasty. And
sweet.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
I never met a scallop I didn't like. I'm like, hello, Mr. Scallop, how are you? Like, oh, I'm about to eat you.
Oh, by the way, we have a cooking tip coming in from Kelly. And I think you're going to take this to heart. Nutmeg in kale is delicious.
I have nutmeg.
Yeah, I think you're going to make that happen, aren't you?
Oh, I have, you know, I don't know, man. I just buy spices, and I'm so glad Kelly brought that up, because last time I went to TJ's, and by the way, so tonight we had Jamaican jerk chicken, the whole house, because it's been raining again. It's raining. It's going to rain all week again. So I'm grilling in the house, right? And the whole house, it smells like a Jamaican jerk hut. Because I got Jamaican jerk with the, you know, Jamaican jerk thighs. Wait, with the onion roll, with cheddar cheese and bacon.
Oh, there is, not to put anybody off in the Horn Family Community Congregation right now, Todd, there's serious salivation going on here. We got a question for you. Our buddy Arnold up in PA says, I forget how to spell the name, but there's a restaurant in South Carolina, like a chain, that makes scallops and garlic mashed potatoes, and it was fabulous. But now I make a better version. I thank that place for getting me cooking. Maybe Calabria or something like that.
Carrabba's?
Maybe. Well, that's not South Carolina, though. I mean, Carrabba's all over the place.
Italian, yeah. I don't know. But that sounds like some good low country stuff. Yeah,
But I got to thinking some really good quality grits and a nice sharp, you know, or maybe a funky cheese, or maybe a brie or something that just worked into those grits, with the jowl and the woo.
Yeah. Right. So right. And I'm so glad you brought up the grits and back to the seasonings. Because you know I had to. And that's why I don't say their whole name anymore. TJ's, you know what I mean? So, first of all, back to the grits. Because, like everybody else, well, I don't know. My mom, she likes, you know, she lives next door. But she likes, not that that's important. But, you know, she likes the bleached out white grits.
Mm-hmm.
I like natural stone ground yellow grits, the real one. I'm like, why would I eat something that's been bleached and all that? I just like the yellow.
Oh, no. White grits come from white corn. Ain't been bleached.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that is
a deep culture thing. Because
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought it was bleached.
No. White corn makes white grits and white corn meal, and yellow corn makes yellow grits and yellow corn meal.
Well, shoot, that changed my whole... Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
No, but it is, like I said, it is deep culture stuff, like sugar and cornbread, because...
But wait a minute, I love the Silver Queen corn. That's the best corn in the world, the Maryland Silver Queen corn.
Mm. Oh, I've grown it here.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, I've grown Silver Queen in my garden here. It, God almighty, it got up to about 11 feet tall. I did something right that summer. But, no, it's a deep... The divide between white and yellow corn is a deep culture thing, and poor folks got the yellow corn, poor whites and poor blacks, and the high and mighty white folks ate the white corn. And so white corn becomes... I mean, if your mama is older... white corn was a... White corn meal and white grits... was a status thing. When I was growing up in Alabama and we'd have cornmeal on the lunch tray in elementary school, it was always white cornbread. Because...
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because the yellow corn was deemed... You know, it's like field corn, same thing you'd feed to your horses and mules.
And pigs.
But white corn, yeah. So that's probably a little leftover cultural stuff that's why your mom prefers the white corn.
Yeah, probably, and she's.
But you're lucky because down in South Carolina, there's a place called Anson Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the most. Stunningly delicious corn anything. Cornmeal, grits, you know. Their grits are...
Aren't they in Greenville, maybe? Or are they upstate?
I don't have it, but... Well, you know, I got some internet
well,
here.
Well, somebody don't know. It's not that big of a state. It just rings a bell. But I'm so glad that you illuminated me on the grit thing. Yeah, I just the yellow grits they take longer to cook. Anyway,
well, Anson Mills prides themselves on using only heirloom seed and stuff. They're in, their home base is in Colombia.
Oh, and that's why it sounds familiar.
But they got amazing stuff like coarse white grits, medium white grits, medium yellow quick grits, colonial pencil cob grits. They got cornmeal. They do a polenta. You can get heirloom Carolina gold rice.
Oh yeah. Now I've seen that. That's where you know what they sell that in the pig and some mills. Yes, I've seen it in the pig because the pig specializes in state, local stuff, state, things here.
Yeah.
That. Wow. Grits. I'll be honest. Grits. Fish and grits and chicken and grits. But Bob, I'm telling you, this jerk chicken. In the next couple of years, between other things I'm going to be doing, I'm going to have a food truck. And I'm just going to specialize in a few things, and it's going to be enough.
Well, that's like we were talking about how Agnes did the risotto. The reason I thought about that is the hog jowl and the drippings and the rice is the front end of classic Gullah red rice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
see,
it's
that's
some,
that good sturdy grease. See, that's that yep. good. It carries the flavor. See?
Yeah.
Look, come on. And it's almost like you got me thinking now about chili. You know how we are about chili, man. Chili on top of rice, that's a 24/7 meal.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I just got an update from Randy in PA. We need to add this to the don't eat it list.
Oh, shit.
Here we go again. Prepackaged sandwiches from Satur Farms, Satur. Satur Farms recall of baby spinach affects prepared food items from Whole Foods market stores in 8 states. Salmonella in this case. Let's see. Your chicken Florentine panini in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island. Your golden beet and tangerine salad, your locavore cheese steak wrap, your Mediterranean stuffed salmon, your quinoa with dark leafy greens.
Wow.
I mean, Kitty, Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent, Charlene.
Know who shops at Whole Foods?
Darlene, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island.
Soccer moms, baby, come on, man! This is hurting.
Paleo Mediterranean tuna salad from in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York might kill you with the salmonella. But the avocado dragon ball bowl will kill you in Florida. The I yam what I yam bowl in Florida may kill you. But again, and it's always the same tagline with every one of these stories, Todd. It's that America can't help but get poisoned because that would affect the shareholder quarterly profit and loss statement of some corporation by a millionth of a fucking penny. And if those things start adding up, the next thing you know, the Howard Schultzes of the world can only have 10 yachts instead of 11.
Look, my friend, we have a lot of work to do because this every morning since the shutdown, and we all predicted this, the minions, the malefactors, if they're not essential, we don't need them anyway. So, and they say, it's not affecting me. And I'm just doing a little stupid Southern accent, but it's a lot of these folks, man, the majority of people, they say, well, it's not a big deal. Maybe we didn't need them anyway. But the planes are crashing. Well, they just some lazy government work.
You know, people are that fucking delusional.
Give Trump a chance.
We're in fucking trouble. God damn it. And then, wait a minute. And then on C-SPAN also, after, well, it was during Washington Journal, they're talking about these fire retardants that have been used on military bases, like Willow Grove Air Force Base, just outside of Philadelphia, northwest Philadelphia. And, you know, it's in the groundwater everywhere, all over the place. So, it's, you know, it's similar to that Teflon shit that I forget, you know, I can't pronounce the name of the chemical now. But, you know, it's in groundwater everywhere. And this administration is fighting against trying to mediate that. But back to the food. You see, this is a real problem. Now, why is it so hard to acknowledge that there's a rational... People need to stop being so emotional. Okay, fine. You think the government is too big. Fine. So sit down. Where is the government too big? Just don't laugh.
Yeah, see, you don't want to ask that question because you won't get the question out of your mouths before the Klan hoods start popping on.
Why is that?
Well, because if you ask a Republican where the government is too big, the answer will be anywhere it does anything good for anybody black.
You keep saying that, and I just can't.
And they're clueless, so they don't realize that white folks consume far more of those benefits than people of color do. But that's their operating. That's their modus operandi.
That's pathetic, Bob.
We don't have a big government problem because we've got the biggest military on planet Earth by a factor of 8 compared to the next 10 militaries down the list. No, fuck no. We don't have, you know, government's not too big because Medicare is taking care of elderly maggots. We don't have a government that's too big because Social Security is taking care of elderly maggots. Our government is too big because there's a Department of Education that makes sure that poor children get at least one goddamn decent meal a day, 5 days a week, for 9 months out of 12.
That's right, Title I schools.
We got a government's too goddamn big because we've got regulations and not near enough of them that keep poor communities from just being wiped out by industrial excess and pollution. Anytime a Republican starts talking about big government, they're going to talk about the Department of Education. They're going to talk about the USDA, except for the farmer welfare. They'll talk about the Department of Labor. Because, of course, the Howard Schultzes of the world need to be left to be able to just put their boots down on the necks of the workers and keep them nice and terrified so that they'll be compliant. I mean, that's straight out of the University of Chicago and Milton Friedman. I mean, it's just what it is.
It's not logical.
When has racism ever been logical?
I had no idea. I mean,
it's the essence of illogic.
That's so stupid.
Because it is. Jesus Christ, have you ever seen the people who join the fucking Klan? Big ears, buggy eyes, banjos, road company of deliverance types?
You did that shit last night. That was funny as hell. Oh, my God. That was funny. Oh, my God. All right. Since we're talking about...
Cletus J. Sister Fister? I mean, come on.
I'm just an average-looking person. But let me say this, and I don't know if you've noticed this. And I asked Tracy, and she didn't get it at first, but she did say she got it after she looked at it. Have you looked at Roger Stone's profile lately? And... Do you know who Zippy the Pinhead is?
Yes. Yeah. Roger Stone is a cross between Zippy the Pinhead and one of those one of those ancient Mayan warrior kings who are done in bas-relief profile in the jungles of fucking Guatemala.
Oh, shit! Oh, damn! You got it! Oh, my God! You put the hook in it! Oh, you put the bitch hook in it! It ain't coming out! Oh,
you tease that! You tease that shit on his head up nice and tall and put it on a top knot, put it into a top knot, and you can bury him in a pyramid in Honduras.
Oh, shit! Oh, my God! I didn't even think about that aspect. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got some Mayan name, like 13 assholes or something.
Oh, he better hook up with the Aztec gang when he goes to prison. The fucking, that Mexican whatever that he
I mean,
hates.
You know that some, I mean no disrespect. Some southeastern native tribes, when the baby was born, they put a flat board behind its head, and they put another board on its forehead, angled away, to give the baby a nice pointy head. Well, Roger Stone looks like that was done to him at birth. And then you put those weird ass steampunk glasses on him, and wow, fuck, we're down the
I kept thinking, I was like, I saw his profile a couple of weeks ago. I said,
he's a goddamn Batman villain.
He looks like an encephalitic. That's what Zippy the Pinhead. And then I pulled up Zippy the Pinhead. And I'm like, oh, but wait a minute. Zippy's wearing these clownish suits and sunglasses just like
No, no. Hold on. It's like Michael Chase said on Saturday Night Live the other night. Just time travel to 1996 and pretend you're the black guy that Roger Stone looks at and says, would you mind banging my wife?
Oh, my God.
See, I mean, that's just how weird and twisted the Republicans are. Even after he got busted for that, he kept on having fucking work.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can't. No accounting for tastes, consenting adults and all that. Hire Roger. He's a rat fucker extraordinaire.
That's what we were wondering earlier. I was talking with someone earlier, and we both said the same thing at the same time. Like, how is he still, like, in other words, why did it take this long for him to be apprehended?
I think poor Tracy is still sitting in a bleach whirlpool right now because she watched Get Me Roger Stone last night, and I'm getting messages after the program's over. Fuck, Bob, this is disgusting, you know.
That's what I was talking about. We were talking about that today. And I was like, well, she didn't know about him, apparently. Like, I think, you know what I first learned about him was from reading Hunter Thompson stuff, right? And I was like, this can't be true. He can't have a Nixon tattoo on. And if you look at, remember, Zippy the Pinhead, with the inception of that cartoon was right around the Nixon administration. And if you look, and I did some research today, and one of his cohorts has Nixon's nose. So I think this is like part of like the Freak, you remember the Freak Brothers comic?
Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers, yes.
There you go.
Okay, I got one more for you. And then I'm going to take another call. But I got one more for you. This morning, when Chris Krispy Kreme was on Morning Joe, they caught him in this one profile angle where his head was sort of bowed. You know, it's kind of like head down, but chin up. Does that make any sense? And his nose was in perfect profile. And it's like, oh, my God. Chris Christie is Richard Nixon with a metabolic disorder.
Because his neck, what, his jowl?
He looks like Richard Nixon.
And he was looking all, that's when he started to look all squirmy, because they were pressing him on his dumbassery. You know, like, how are you defending this man, right? That's what you mean, right? Anyway, yes. I mean, he could not help it. He started to morph. Because remember, when he went on set, he looked jovial, like, you know, you don't like him or anything, but he's Chris Christie, and he puts a good spin on things for a Republican until he's pressed, like this morning, and he put up that profile as you're describing. Yes, yeah, everyone's, you know,
our whole world is pivoting, right? We're in some deep shit. This is really ugly. It's going to get worse before it gets better. This is going to be very ugly. It's going to be so ugly. And you have all these women wanting to be in office, and you still have all these hateful people, you know, misogynistic and just rape, you know. And it's not our fault. You know, they have to release themselves. You know, you can't make people. I don't know, what can you do, man? You can't make people normal.
And of course, in the Christie book, not to encourage anybody to buy it, I don't want anybody to buy it, but he does recount that special moment when he and Trump listened to watch the Access Hollywood tape together.
I missed that.
And it was Trump who came up with the idea of calling it locker room. Then he says, Donald went upstairs to talk to Melania. That was a meeting I had no interest in attending. Yeah. Stay classy. Stay classy, Chris Christie. Stay classy. Jeez.
Hey, man. Enjoy the ribs.
Well, whenever I get some, I plan on it.
It was just kind of...
I know.
Why don't you have any ribs? Do you have brisket?
Well, because I did that barbecuing in 11 Below once, but that was just an act of bravado, a feat of bravado. And besides, I gotta get the acorn fixed.
Oh, I thought you. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, you're like me. You're trapped inside. That's why my house smells like a barbecue joint. That's okay.
That's kind of where I am. Well, exactly.
Well, take care, man. I appreciate it.
I'm going to try. You do the same. Hey, this cold shit may hit you, too. Stay warm, man. You're probably less prepared for it than I am.
All right. You know it.
All right. Later, man. Bye now.
Peace.
Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan, and onward over to the stress line. Yeah. You there? Hey, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Bob? It's me, Randy, from Decatur, Georgia, here once again talking to you on a very cold Tuesday night. Do you watch In Real Time with Bill Maher?
I don't have HBO. I catch a clip now and then.
Yeah, well, guess who was on his show? His number one favorite blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl.
Oh, friend. I saw that. I hope you didn't waste any of the precious finite time of your life watching that.
No, not her. I watched the rest of it, but not with her. Not that clip or segment with her on it. I watched it afterward. I mean, why does he have people like her such as that on his show?
Because she's a foil for his shtick.
Why you say that, Bob? Exactly.
Because that's his job. He's an entertainer. And yep. So he brings on somebody who will say things diametrically opposed to him, and then he can say funny things back.
Yeah. And she's pissed off at Donald Trump for
come on, Reggie, you're better than that. This is just wrestling, okay?
Right.
She's pissed off at him, he's pissed off at her. And it'll sell, yeah. and it'll sell shit for both of them, and they'll go laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, I bet it will, and you know, but that's what you get for supporting a man like that. That's exactly what these people get for supporting a man like that, right?
Well, it's all just a hustle, Reggie.
Yeah, that's true. It is a hustle. That's true, and it's a legal hustle, I believe.
Oh, they do it masterfully.
Yeah, and they get away with it because far away too many people are too, I don't know, either stupid or ignorant and blind to the facts.
Or maybe they just enjoy the spectacle.
Yeah.
Because we in this country have a taste for spectacle.
Yeah, but the mainstream news media can obsess with it. right?
Yeah.
Even obsessively. And they don't talk about anything else that's equally as relevant or topical, like, well, police brutality is. There's other things going on in the world besides politics.
Sure.
Right, Bob? I mean, people, and people have lives, right, Bob?
Well,
they have to make an earned living. I mean, they can't sit around and watch politics all day or listen to it on radio. You know? You know, Bob?
Yeah.
You know, people have to live lives, right?
That's the theory.
Yeah, they have to live their lives, and they cannot obsess about every single solitary thing about politics. I mean, you got to watch the news, but not necessarily politics. You know? There's other things going on around the world, right?
Sure.
There's crimes committed even as we speak, and they're not really focusing on or talking about. Why is it boring to them all of a sudden? I'm talking about the cable network, you know, CNN and all of them. Isn't it, you know, it gotten boring to them and irrelevant?
Who can say what the motivation is?
Yeah, that's true. Because you got like Rachel Maddow. I don't know if you like her or not.
No, sure. I mean, everybody from Chris, Rachel, Lawrence, yeah, fine by me.
Right. But, yeah, that's true. But, you know, they talk about that, and there's not very much else, you know? Not very much else. Yeah, not very much else. So, you think that he's going to shut down the government again after the 3 weeks are over? After the 15th of February?
I have no idea. An intelligent person wouldn't, but he's not an intelligent person.
Yeah, that's true. And did she whip his ass, Nancy Pelosi? Did she spank him?
Well, you know? I think it was a stroke of genius to give Stacey Abrams the Democratic response.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be talking about access to the ballot, access to the ballot box, voting rights, and
yeah.
She will probably because she is a brilliant human being, she will probably make him look like the demented circus act that he is.
Yeah, because he thinks he can get away with everything, right? Him and his family. They think they can get away with everything, you know? And she wouldn't let him do it. I mean, no State of the Union speech until the government is open. I mean, reopen. Right?
Exactly.
And he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. I thought we had presidents, not king or... tyrannical dictator.
Well, that's the theory, but the devolution of Republican government may lead us in that direction.
Right.
And we may have been on that road for a while.
Right. And how do we turn back the clock? I mean, how do we reverse it or swing that pendulum back the other way?
There's lots of components to that, Reggie. One of them is education. We have a population that has been deliberately made civically illiterate over the course of a couple of generations. Down where I grew up, my graduating class was the last class that had to take civics, I think, or it was gone in a couple of more years. And just having a basic understanding of how government works is critical to meaningfully participating in the formation of it.
Right. And I thought you couldn't buy politics, you know, during the presidency. I guess I was wrong.
Oh no, it's always for sale. Sure, because we have to understand that the way we run campaigns is part and parcel of a capitalist system. We have commodified our political system so that it is another commercial endeavor in which people can make scads of money without doing a whole lot.
Right.
I mean, look at the guy. His name doesn't come immediately to mind. But he's a Democratic advisor. And lo and behold, you know, Howard Schultz has money to spend. So away he goes to advise him. And, hey, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. He's going to make a fast buck.
Right. And don't you?
I mean, the political consulting class is following a model that was largely invented by Roger Stone and Paul Manafort.
Right. So do you think, like as politics has been bought, do you think the mainstream media themselves has also been bought and sold?
It's part of Reggie. It's part of capitalism, buddy.
Right.
They haven't been bought and sold. They're just part of the process. That's why I refer to it as the multimillionaire for-profit media.
Right.
Anderson Cooper pulls down $11 million a year from CNN. Rush Limbaugh, last I checked, was yanking down 50.
Right. Anybody else, Bob? What about the?
Sure. Everybody. If you're doing anything that's highly visible on a major network, you're north of $1 million.
Right. And you know those assholes on Fox News. You know, I wonder how much they're raking in.
Oh, I have heard that Rupert pays well.
Million.
But again, it's part of capitalism.
Right.
Capitalism doesn't give a fuck about the quality of the product, just whether anybody's buying it.
Right. And I'm sure Joe and Mika are pulling down $1 million, I guess.
I don't spend any time worrying about it.
Right. So, like you said, they've both been bought. Both the government and the media have been bought.
The media were never for sale. The media are simply part of it's just another product.
Right.
But
what about politics?
As I just explained, our political system has been commodified for capitalist purposes.
Oh, my God. It didn't used to be that way.
I mean, look at the amount of money that gets spent. You've got, okay, so TV stations are for the most part owned by right-wing corporations. So every four years, the American people are asked to dig deep into their pockets and make contributions and make pass-through contributions through their favorite candidates to the right-wing bajillionaires who own television in this country.
Right.
It doesn't matter. If you're going to run ads, you got to run them on these stations, and the stations are owned by right-wing bajillionaires. So the political advertising system itself.
Right.
Is a wealth redistribution network. Take the billion-plus dollars that was spent in 2016 and ask yourself, what would that have done for kids who need a new school? What would that have done for people who need to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick? If we eliminated capitalism from our political process, we could fix a lot of ills in a real double-quick damn hurry.
Right, well, like feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, you know, and enriching the poor, right?
All that Jesus stuff? Sure, why not?
Educating the illiterate, right? You know, all the good stuff that should be done with that all that money. But as you said, both the media, meaning talk radio, and politics have been bought and sold like, well, slaves. Only they get enriched off of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how down I am with the slavery reference. Only slavery is slavery.
Right, but you know, like you said, they've been bought and sold. You know, bought and sold, and I don't know
it's just a product that's always on offer. It is capitalism. Capitalism is predicated on selling shit.
Right.
And hyper-consumptive capitalism is predicated on selling shit that nobody really needs.
Or wants. But what if people start revolting against the media and the politics?
How are they going to do that?
I don't know. You know, stop watching television or listening to the radio. You know, because people are on the internet nowadays, man. They don't really buy TVs and cable boxes anymore. Am I right, Bob? You know, they watch what they want to watch on the internet.
Oh, no, there's lots of them. Look, there's people out there that only have internet because they've got cable.
Right.
I mean, we don't have it here. I mean, if I want to watch something cable wise, I've got DirecTV now, and I watch it on my tablet.
Right.
But
I do too, Bob.
So, yeah, you get the idea. Hey, Reggie, I got to roll out of here and make a little more room. You have yourself a good evening, all right? And stay warm. You're going to get that cold snap, right?
Yeah, I'm going through the cold snap. How about you guys?
It's not here with it. No, it'll be here in its full bitter effect by tomorrow night.
Well, it should be. Well, it'll be warm by Super Bowl Sunday, or even before then. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the beauty of living in a place like Decatur.
Right.
Super Bowl. Well, I mean, Super Bowl Sunday here is partly sunny, 55, low of 43. It'll be back to bearable again. But tomorrow's gonna suck, and so is Thursday.
Yeah. Right. And as you said, Bob, people are gonna be so hypnotized by Super Bowl Sunday that they probably forget everything else that they thought about up till then. You know, they're gonna be sold by commercials and whatnot. You know, Super Bowl Sunday halftime or whatnot.
Right. But God forbid we should have a. You know, God forbid they should run an ad about the medical benefits of cannabis. CBS's standards won't allow them to do that. But they did, however, accept a buku bajillion dollars from Budweiser to run the new Budweiser brewed with wind power ad. I don't care if you brew Budweiser with unicorn farts. It's still fucking Budweiser.
Right. And what about, you know, Pizza Hut ads and whatnot? And drink ads.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You won't advertise. You won't run a PSA about the benefits of medical cannabis. But yeah, you know, oh by God, the liquor ad money. That cashes in just fine. Hey Reggie, have yourself a good night, man. Take care and stay warm.
You do too, Bob.
Bye now.
You do too. Bye now.
That's Reggie calling from Decatur. Both lines open if anybody wants to jump in. Stress line. 844-843-4676. And of course, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, and 304-574-8178. I did mention, again, fundraising free radio, and I love it. But if you want to help, out with the 8 campaign, we've crossed the halfway mark on my birthday fundraiser over on Facebook, and every little bit helps. If you can't find it, send me a message, and if you're on Facebook, I will send you a link to the fundraiser. And so hopefully we'll get there and be able to do some of the work that must be done if we are to pass this bill in this Congress. Let's keep things going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, I didn't think I'd get through. Hold on. So let me get my jacket on and hat.
Are you outside?
No. I'm inside.
But it's still cold.
I get a really shitty signal in my house. It's Carl from Western Massachusetts.
Yeah, hey, Carl. Good to hear from you.
No, you've been doing pretty good. How cold is it there?
Like I said, it's barely tolerable right now, but it's going to get a lot worse by today. But I shouldn't complain. Yeah. For anybody who's dealing with, you know, 30 below or something like that, this is child's play. But in an old north of 80 years old house, this is kind of tough and cold and drafty, so we'll be down to like zero or so tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Well, and snow. Right. Yay, us.
And it's snowing now. I get about half an inch on the back steps. So I'll get my Bobcat charger and it'll start up tomorrow and I'll be fine. Wait off right now until it's warmer, so.
Yeah, just you can't work in this.
No, people don't want to break ground. I think it's supposed
to
be saying.
Well, you try to break ground in Western Massachusetts right now. You're gonna break the bucket instead.
Yes. Well, not always. The new stuff is nice, but keeping that away from stuff. Laborers don't want to go out
Hey, Carl, be careful. For some reason or another, every now and then you get muffled. I just want to make sure everybody gets to hear you.
Yeah, all right. I'll just stay in one spot then. But, hey, can you do me a favor? Because I know a lot of Pencilneck geeks. Can you stop referring to Mike Pence as Mike Pencilneck Geek? Can you just call him what he is, Mike DePutz?
I can work on that. It just seems to roll so easily off the tongue.
Yes, but Putz. He's a Putz.
Yeah, Putz, popcorn fart. I mean, shall we continue working through the P's in the alphabet? Piss ant?
Yes. Piss ant. Preacher. Well, he's a preacher. But... All right. I forget what else I was going to... I didn't think I'd get through, but anyways, enjoy you guys getting snow down there?
We got a dusting right now. We'll probably get more overnight.
All right. I'm supposed to get a little bit.
Like I said, I'm counting days till the official first day of spring, but I remember last year, first day of spring, I was driving around in the snow, so, you know, it's no guarantee.
Yes. Yes. Oh, you were talking about Tamarack. I went to school. I think I know I told you before. I went to the coal mining institute down there. My international used to have their training site there.
Yeah,
same area, you know, same spot. Was that part of the? We used to go to right outside of Beckley Beaver.
Sure, sure.
Tamarack. That was pretty nice. That was a nice place.
It's the best pan fried trout fillet I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have any nuts out there. I just usually went down there once or twice, go shopping and just have some fries and stuff. But nice place. I do like that area. Well, I'll get off the phone since I'm kind of, snow's getting in my eyes.
I understand completely, Carl. Well, listen, stay bundled up and stay warm, my friend, all right?
Yeah, you too.
All right, bye. Later now. Carl from Western Mass, good to hear from him. Jason, rubbing it in. I just picked a couple dozen oranges off my backyard tree, 65 in San Jose. Of course, it'll be on fire by next August. Well, you know, you take the bitter with the sweet. That's a little flippant, but no. Well, hey, let's go over and check in with Kevin in Colorado Springs.
Good afternoon, Bob.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good. I just thought I'd check in here before we get into the show and say hi to everybody. Glad to be out here in Colorado again, where it's nice and peaceful. And
you made the annual sojourn to Florida, didn't you?
And that's what it was, unfortunately. I'll just leave it at that and say I'm glad to be out here, where I don't have to hear how great, wonderful Trump was doing, and you know, nothing wrong at all with any of his policies, and on it goes. I know I don't necessarily blame my family members, because it's as you and Todd were talking about, the level of propaganda that's been perpetuated on America since the late 1990s, mid-1990s, is responsible for all this. I guess we do have a responsibility, at least I think I do, to consider the propaganda and consider that there's another side. I don't listen to everything the left side says without considering it. I don't take it as gospel that because whatever name your left-wing politician that what they say is right. I consider it. I agree with them most of the time, but I don't follow the party line, so to speak. And that's what's happened in the South so much, as like you were talking about. You know, it's based on, as you were saying, with the black, you know, it's the government and anything they do that helps the blacks. And, of course, they don't see that, you know. But the things they're protesting are exactly the things that would help most of the white wing. And yet, because they see one particular minority group get a little bit of the pie and equality, they can't have it that way.
Well, no, that's what drives them crazy. It's the equality. It's the idea that we would try to run a country in such a way that we offer no favor to somebody just and of course we do. To pretend that we don't is just to live in a fantasy land, Kevin. But that we would make an attempt to be inclusive to the entire diverse so-called melting pot that is this country. And that drives them crazy. I mean, I mentioned it at the top of the toward the end of the first hour. But the attack that was perpetrated in Chicago early this morning.
Yep.
Really putting a rope around an African American man's neck, screaming racial and sexual epithets at him, and then dumping bleach on him in freezing fucking cold. That's attempted murder.
Exactly. And still there are some that say because of his sexual orientation and the color of his skin, he deserved it. And it just drives me nuts because I could give a flying F what people's sexual orientation is. What you do in the privacy of your bedroom is your business. And as to your skin color, considering I'm blind, I could care less about that too. You know, and I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. Skin color is the least thing that separates us. It's the income inequality and the, like you're talking about with the food, that affects everybody. It affects people on the right. It affects people on the left. And if there ain't no government regulation, it's going to be just like out of the book called The Jungle. We're going back. We're trying to go back to that. It drives me nuts. So I'm glad to be back here because I don't have to be amongst that all the time. I live in a mildly blue state with a blue governor
and a senator who finally spoke up last week.
Yes. And I'm not a big fan of Senator Bennett, but I gave him props on Twitter. I was very proud of him for what he said and how he said it. And there needs to be more of that from the left, from the right, from the center. There needs to be more of calling these people out for who they are and what they are. And so anyway, I'll get off my soapbox, but other than that, it was a good trip. I was a little bit worried about coming back because of the shutdown was still going on when I flew back. If I'd make it back, there were no problems with the airport I flew out of. And so I was glad to get back because I think I got back the day before the shutdown, and that's right when they were talking about going on strike, the flight attendants. And I was like, please let that not happen until I get back home, please. So, and, you know, that must have scared.
Oh, hell, stranded in an airport is bad enough. Stranded in an airport and visually impaired, I can't fathom.
Oh, I don't know, Bob. Visually impaired, you'll find enough good people amongst the people in the airport to help you. It's a pain in the neck in an airport because they do have, because of the ADA, of course, they do have people that will help you from gate to gate. And these people are highly underpaid and in some cases don't give a fuck about what they do, but they park you at the gate by yourself in a wheelchair, and you're just sitting there, and they do not take into account, at least in my case, my visual impairment. But amongst the people sitting near me, if I speak up, someone will help me. But the hardest thing about being visually impaired and stuck in an airport is finding your way to things like the restroom or to get food or something like that, because nothing's close. You know, it's not a few steps away usually from where I'm at the gate to a restaurant or a restroom or anything like that. So that's my only complaint about being visually impaired, is how long it takes to get to where I'm going, and because of my visual impairment and my balance and everything else, it takes me a lot longer to get to where I want to go. But the people, the flight attendants are usually great getting on an airplane. And I had one doctor. Now how they do airplanes, you fly economy class, you don't get to choose your seat or anything like that. Well, I usually take an aisle seat. I can't see, so why do I need a window seat? And when you're in the window seat, you have to step over people if you have to get up. And the stewardess was helping me back to my seat, and I said, could I get an aisle seat maybe? And this doctor person heard me, and I didn't realize it. I thought it was a flight attendant, and she said, sit here. So I did, and it turned out she gave up her seat in first class and took my seat back in coach. And I couldn't even thank her because she'd already gone. And in talking to my seatmate there in first class, he told me, yeah, this is Dr. So-and-so, and she gave up her seat. You know, she flies with me doesn't fly with him, but he sees her almost every week on the flight, flying back to and from Dallas. And I was so touched by that, because this doctor, this is what I talk about, the good people, because this doctor didn't expect thanks, didn't wait for thanks, and I didn't get a chance to thank her. And I just was so appreciative of that. So, you know. But anyway, it was a good trip, other than all the talk about Trump, which I didn't encourage. I try to stay away from politics, but of course, you know, that's the other thing about the Trumpers. They seem to expect that you believe exactly like them, and they have no
right. They make assumptions based on your skin color. I mean, it happens around here all the time. People, you don't support Trump because I'll say something in public about what a godforsaken moron he is. You don't support Trump? Oh, no, I wouldn't pee on him to put out a fire. Really? No, really? He's an idiot.
Yep.
You do? What's wrong with you?
Yep.
Were you dropped on your head at birth?
Yep. And I don't see that from our side. I don't see people on our side assuming that I don't do it. When you're a stranger to me, and if we do engage in conversation, I don't expect you to believe exactly like me.
Yeah, but there's a slight difference between there and here. If you use, instead of Colorado, if you use Florida, yeah, people just assume that, yeah, it's not so, maybe the maggots are a little less presumptuous in places where he got his ass handed to him.
and being in Colorado Springs, we still have our pockets of MAGA country. It's obviously not as much, but
it's still it's still Colorado Springs. It's still the Vatican of prosperity gospel evangelicism.
Yep, but a whole lot more or less so lately. That I will say.
Well, that's a win then.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't surprised Polis won by as much as he did, actually, because Stapleton ran one of the worst campaigns I've ever seen. But I was surprised at where he won and how well Polis did in Colorado Springs. That's what I was surprised at. And I do think there's something to be said for the... It's not there yet, but I think to at least a fraction, the tide is turning. What, Trump's approval ratings are now down to 30%? So, you know, I think I'm hoping maybe it's a sign of things to come. I won't. I can't bring
guarded
myself to think.
Guarded optimism.
Very guarded. Double secret probation guarded optimism, I guess you'd say.
I would say that is wisely engaged.
Yes. So, but I'm back, and you're talking about the cold. Now, in Florida, they think it's cold at 60 degrees.
Oh, yeah, the same thing on the Gulf Coast.
And it is, because it's a different climate. It's a different dynamic. But the houses down there are not insulated for crap. And at 60 degrees, the heater's kicking on every 10 minutes because it's not insulated at all. So, but that was one of the last days I was there, the temperature was like 52, 53. And I was sitting outside, and it was warm to me because of the sun being out. It was great, you know. And they're bundled up in coats and parkas, you know. So I guess I've gotten used to the Colorado Springs climate because that felt great to me. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll leave it at that. It's good to be back. I do enjoy going home and visiting family, but it's always good to be back home. And so I'll leave it at that. It's good to hear your show.
Well, thanks,
I don't have internet. I don't have internet access when I go home because it's just too hard to transfer my talking software to anybody else's computer.
Sure.
And a phone doesn't work for me. So for this time it was 18 days I went home. So, you know, for 18 days I was without anything but Fox News, and that was about it. And so it was good to hear your show and get back into the swing of things. And so anyway, it's good to hear everybody back. It's good to hear Tracy talking about her trip to Vegas, and Todd and your food porn today. And I had a question about that.
Sure.
Have you ever had diverticulitis?
Probably. I don't know that it was ever formally diagnosed, but I've had so many different gut problems, it's probably in there somewhere.
Okay, but you understand what it is, right?
Yes, I absolutely do.
All right. Now, I have been told not to eat things like hush puppies and grits. And my mother served hush puppies one night at dinner, and I told her, you know, I have no problem eating them, but the doctors told me not to because of the diverticulitis. And she said, well, it's just cornmeal. And so, you know, I'm fairly sure the doctor told me not to eat things like hush puppies and grits.
Well, the reason for that is because there's the potential for swelling
Right.
In the gut. And with yeah. and given what the diverticula are, they can aggravate the hell out of it.
Yeah, it gets caught in the pockets of your intestines, and anything like small nuts or anything like that can get caught in lining and blah blah blah, like you're saying, the swelling. And I don't completely not eat things like that, but I try to stay away from them, especially. But I was wondering, does that apply to Kush puppies and grits? Okay, yeah, because I was kind of confused on it. The nuts and that, would it apply to things like Kush puppies, or I don't know the answer to that.
I'm not sure I do either.
Yeah, so. Not that it's going to be a problem out here, because, I don't eat that much of that kind of food out here, but...
Yeah, that's...
When you're in the...
Yeah, hush puppies are very much a southern thing, a seafood thing, yeah.
Yep, and grits are... Yeah, the grits are great, but I don't have any... Ask somebody for grits out here, and they kind of look at you like, what's that?
Oh, I imagine they're going to be kind of thin and puny and watery and hopeless. Now I'll get hate mail from Colorado.
Or else it's going to be prepackaged stuff that you mix with water. And sometimes it can be on the other side of that, drier kind of thing, hard, dry kind of grits. But I haven't seen anybody that makes them from scratch out here, I'll say that. I've never seen that. So, but anyway. So, anyway, I just wanted to call and check in and say hi to everybody. And
well, we're glad you're home safe and stay in the warm.
Yeah, it's going to get down to 10 tonight. It's supposed to warm up to 49 tomorrow. And for whatever reason, this polar vortex is not hitting us here in Colorado this week, which I'm extremely glad for. But to you people up north in North Dakota, Montana, Minnesota...
Iowa.
Blow up, because, good grief. I was hearing something today. You can't be out in the cold for more than like 5 minutes before you get frostbite.
That's what those temperatures will do.
Yeah. So, too cold for me. It gets like that maybe once a year down here, but nothing on the effect of what it's doing up there up north right now, so... I feel for you folks up there. Anyway.
All right. Well, hang in there, Kevin. We'll talk soon. All right?
All right. Take care, and we'll talk to you later on, Bob.
All right. Be good now. Bye. Later. Bye. My buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. Pretty much at the end of the program. And just a couple of things to wrap up this Titanic Tuesday. Apparently... House Minority Leader, Republican Kevin McCarthy, may very well have put the shiv between Julius Geezer's ribs. Speaking with reporters about averting another shutdown, McCarthy said, well, it could be a barrier. It doesn't have to be a wall. I mean, they could compromise with him and not have a wall in there. Don't hold your breath. But just a quick note to John Pornstash Bolton, who wants to murder the world. Jesus, what a scumbag he is. He was caught walking around with a notepad with his chicken scratch on it. That got everybody to a little bit head up with all the Venezuela business. In plain view of cameras, which makes me think maybe it was deliberate, there were the words, 5,000 troops to Colombia. Yeah. If you remember the United States military, hold on. they're liable to do something stupid any minute now. And just one last thing, because it's kind of a blast from the past. This. John Bolton, John Pornstash Bolton, probably a war criminal. We can probably take the probably off, too. Was interviewed over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. When, just as was the case when they were getting ready to go in and slaughter the innocent people of Iraq, and they accidentally named the operation Operation Iraqi Liberation, and then had to backtrack in a double-quick hurry because they figured they suddenly realized that spilled oil. Well, we get this admission from John Pornstash Bolton.
We want everybody to know we're looking at all this very seriously. We don't want any American businesses or investors caught by surprise. They can see what President Trump did yesterday. We're following through on it.
So if you think of a company like Citgo, which is owned by PDVSA, which is the state-run oil company there in Venezuela, we have a lot of those Citgo assets right here in the U.S. Is that something, for example, sir, that you're looking at?
Yeah, look, we're in conversation with major American companies now that are either in Venezuela or, in the case of Citgo, here in the United States. I think we're trying to get to the same end result here. You know, Venezuela is one of the three countries I called the troika of tyranny. It'll make a big difference to the United States economically if we could have American oil companies really invest in and produce the oil capabilities in Venezuela. It'd be great.
Ta-da! Might be time to dig out those old "no war, no blood for oil" posters. That's right. The National Security Advisor to the President of the United States just admitted, or not just, but admitted, that the United States would like to steal Venezuela's oil. How's about that? I know. What a surprise. What's that? Kelly says, people with diverticulitis need to avoid nuts, seeds, and popcorn, and cornbread. Thank you, Kelly. And thus, it's time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Sorry about the hitches with the stream earlier this evening. Sometimes the internet just does things like that. Thanks to all of you for all you do to keep the program on the air. Thanks to everyone who kicks in over the course of a month. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation in whatever manner you so choose. You know, there are people I never hear from that listen to this program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks for resetting the server. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks again to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. If you want to help out with the 8 campaign, which is a project of Coal River Mountain Watch, again, run over to Facebook, find my birthday fundraiser. We're trying to raise $1,000. If you can't find it, send me a message on Facebook Messenger, and I will send you a direct invite. And again, thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.